The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow will look like yesterday.
Prepare the escape pod for launch.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow.
Pressurizing.
Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future.
You will.
Nominal.
And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Nominal.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came, into logbook.com's escape pod.
Escape pod ready.
November.
The logbook.com's escape pod is charting a course through geek history. I'm Earl Green, and it's time for another look at the factual, the far out, and the foundations of the future. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1965, the Soviet Union launched unmanned interplanetary probe Venera 2, complete with cameras to take close-up photos of Venus during the probe's planned flyby. But electrical failures shut Venera 2 down before it could take a single shot. It flew past Venus at a distance of 14,000 miles, with its eyes firmly shut. In 1980, Voyager 1 gave us a new look at Saturn.
An outer space spectacular that was the stuff of dreams only a generation ago began snapping into the sharp focus of reality today. After its billion-mile journey from Earth, the Voyager 1 spacecraft sent back pictures of man's closest look yet at the ring planet Saturn. Closest encounter of spacecraft and planet occurs later tonight when Voyager sails just 77,000 miles from Saturn's yellow clouds. But already one scientist said, in the strange world of Saturn's rings, the bizarre has become commonplace.
On a trajectory that gave it a close look at Saturn's cloud-covered giant moon Titan, Voyager 1 made its final planetary visit at Saturn. Though some early 70s mission profiles called for Voyager 1 to get a gravity assist from Saturn to visit Pluto, it was decided instead to sacrifice a look at Pluto for a closer look at Titan. The pictures revealed only the moon's thick orange clouds, which would obscure the planet until Cassini arrived with radar and a lander in the 21st century. Voyager 1's close flyby of Titan shot it out of the solar system and eventually into interstellar space. In 1981, for the first time, a vehicle that had been launched into space once before went back.
Countdown now being conducted by the launch sequencers on board the orbiter. T-minus 20 seconds and counting. The SRB hydraulic power units have started. The SRB nozzles have been moved to start position. Coming up on 10. T-minus 10. 9. We have go for main engine start.
And we should see ignition. We see it now. We have main engines going. Soon the solids let her kick. And there they all are going. They're all going. We have liftoff. We have liftoff and the fire and the flame of it. And she's whirling into its cold program. Immediately it's cleared the tower at 75 miles an hour. She's streaking up. She's now beginning to arc over, seeking that spot in the sky as she pierces a little thin veil of cloud, rips on that column of crenellated fire and smoke that the solids produce. Looking good here, 30 seconds into the mission.
35 seconds.
A mile high, arcing over. They're on their backs now, but they don't care because all they can feel is the drive and the push of 6 million pounds of thrust.
The second flight of Space Shuttle Columbia took astronauts Joe Engel and Richard Truly into orbit with a new piece of equipment to test, the shuttle's famous Canadian-made manipulator arm. In 1995, Space Shuttle Atlantis made its second visit to the Russian space station, Mir.
Go for main engine start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Atlantis with the Russian docking module, the threshold to world cooperation in space.
Unlike Atlantis' first visit to Mir, this time the shuttle carried a special docking adapter, making it easier to connect to the space station. And in 2014, it was a rough ride for the first robotic explorer to land on a comet. Launched in 2004 as part of the European Space Agency's Rosetta mission, the Philae lander was dropped toward a comet at a relatively low altitude and then bounced across the surface of Comet 67 Peeve, Churyumov, Gerasimenko several times when a Harpoon anchoring system failed to fire. Philae came to rest on its side, its solar panels blocked from the sun, and it only had enough power to gather data for under 3 days before shutting down. Rosetta remained in a close orbit of Comet 67P.
So we have the first images taken by the orbiter, by OSIRIS, coming down straight.
We definitely confirmed that the lander is on the surface, and I leave it to Stefan. I think it's up to him to judge how it's going now on the lander.
The signal from Rosetta was acquired earlier on, and now Rosetta has confirmed that Rosetta is receiving signal from the lander. We can see the telemetry from the lander on our displays. We have an end-to-end link established. That's exactly what we wanted.
Okay, so we are there and Philae is talking to us. First things he told us was that the harpoons have been fired, rewound, and the landing gear has been moved inside, so we are sitting on the surface. Philae is talking to us, more data to come and to be analyzed right now.
So we're very happy to see that we're starting to receive the data, and we got the first image taken during the descent. The image was taken at a distance of about 3 kilometers from the nucleus, and this is it. On the top side, we see a leg of the lander, which is in the field of view. And as I said, the size of the comet taken from 3 kilometers is about 3 kilometers in size, and we have a resolution about 3 meters per pixel. The landing side is exactly in the middle, so we can confirm that the trajectory was correct and we had a safe landing.
Some of these data, also OMA, indicated that the lander may have lifted off again. We touched down, we're rebouncing very slowly, because the landing gear worked perfectly well and it was designed in order to damp the majority of the impact energy. What we saw in the coming about 2 hours was fluctuation not only in the RF link, but also on the solar generator, which could be interpreted, again, don't cite me, that's what it is, could be interpreted that the lander lifted off and started to turn itself, because the flywheel was switched off at touchdown, so the lander would start to turn. About 2 hours later, this information of turning on the power generator stopped. We still got radio link, we still get science data from there. So maybe today we didn't just land once, we even landed twice.
To know if a mission is a success, I don't need to look at computers or don't look at data that I don't understand. I am just looking at the smile of Paolo and Stefan. And when they are smiling, it means that this is a success. So it's a big success, and it was a great day. Thank you very much.
Born on this day in 1922, actress Kim Hunter, who played Dr. Zira in the original Planet of the Apes movies.
Zira, are you mad? Dr. Milo, please do not call my wife mad.
I did not call her mad. I merely asked her if she was, and I repeat the question. Are you mad?
I hate deceit.
Well, there is a time for truth, and a time not for lies, but for silence. And until we know who our friends are and who our enemies...
And how in the name of God are we to know that unless we communicate? We can speak, so I spoke.
And we can listen.
Shuttle astronaut Richard Truly was born in 1937, which means he piloted Columbia into orbit on his 44th birthday. He went on to become the first astronaut to lead NASA as its chief administrator. Actor Wallace Shawn was born today in 1943. Fellow Ferengi Max Grodenchik, Star Trek Deep Space Nine's Rom, was born in 1952.
Congratulations, Rom. You're gonna make a fine Negus.
I am?
What's wrong? You seemed so happy when I talked to you the other day.
I did?
That was me.
You? Oh, I thought I was talking to Rom.
On this day in 1975, Ballantine Books published the first edition of the Star Trek Starfleet Technical Manual, written and illustrated by Franz Josef Schnabel. With no new movie to contradict it, many fans took the new ship designs and other information in the book as gospel, and snippets of the book could even be seen on the Enterprise's computer screens in Star Trek The Motion Picture. In 1977, the crew of Moonbase Alpha had to contend with yet another attempt to kidnap their alien crew member, Maya.
You cannot escape, Sycon.
Consul Varda! The Sycon!
Yes, Archon.
You speak, child. What are you called?
Maya. Daughter of Mentor.
Well, Maya, daughter of Mentor, your struggles are over. Transfer surgery.
Former Doctor Who star Patrick Troughton guest starred in the final episode of Space 1999. 2 decades later, with nothing left to lose, Captain Janeway decided to take the most explosive way out of the Year of Hell.
Alana, Harry, I want you to beam over to the Nahedron vessel. Work with their engineers. The entire fleet needs to be equipped with temporal shielding.
Aye, Captain.
Tuvok, Neelix, Seven, you'll be working on the Mawasi ship.
Yes, Captain.
Doctor, once the attack begins, your skills will no doubt be required. Join Tuvok's team.
What about yourself?
I'll be piloting Voyager, coordinating the attack.
Captain, there's barely enough of this ship left to get there, much less wage a war.
There's fighting Voyager yet. Still got temporal shields, 6 photon torpedoes. It'll hold together. Besides, you know the adage. Captain goes down with the ship, right? You have your orders.
The popular two-part Star Trek Voyager episode ended on this day in 1997. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. If you want to witness video game history unfolding firsthand, thelogbook.com is the place to do it. With downloadable videos from the comprehensive chronology of Phosphor Dot Fossils to the origin stories of the industry told by those who lived it in the best of CGE videos. Previously available only on DVD, you can now download the specific videos you want to see. You can pick up other original books, ebooks, and videos, and hundreds of other titles in the logbook.com store anytime. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook.com escape pod was written and produced by Earl Kane.
Balanced across the surface of Comet 67P. Surely, you're kidding me.